Edward Channels Podcast. My name's Moose.
I'm Jody.
Welcome to an episode just about a week after our last episode. That hasn't been done in a while.
Good for us.
I know. I don't want to jinx it. So I'm going to just push that aside. Let's get right into it.
We didn't even talk about that.
This Married with Channels is the podcast, married couple talking TV shows and movies. And it's all movies this week.
Sweet.
One's an Oscar winner, the other is a Netflix movie, and the other's also won a couple Oscars.
Cool.
And let's get right into the big mamma jamma.
Yeah.
Let's start with Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Of course, the Christopher Nolan movie. Very long movie about Robert J. Oppenheimer and the development of the atom bomb.
Yes, this movie is 3 hours long and rated R.
And rated R. It's currently, as we record, on Peacock. And, you know, we started watching it before it won the Oscar for Best Picture and a couple other Oscars. I think Cillian Murphy won for Best Actor.
Sure.
But it had all that hype. Of course, Barbenheimer, last summer, this came out along with Barbie.
Yeah.
So that became a thing.
Of course it did.
And we watched Barbie. Did we talk about Barbie on this podcast? I think we did, right?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. Maybe next time.
I think we'll have to next time.
Right?
Well, you'll get hints of our take on Barbie here. But Oppenheimer, we started it. Did not finish it.
Yeah.
And that's not because of like something happened or, you know, the
somebody
streaming
got
service
sick. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
We decided.
We chose
not to finish Oppenheimer. I wanted to like Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It just kind of. There's a couple things working again for me. Would you want to go first? Why you're not liking Oppenheimer?
I just felt like it was a really slow pace and it was just kind of boring. There wasn't, I don't know, I kept waiting for it to get better.
Right.
It just was pretty slow and boring. And I also didn't like how much it jumped around in the timeline. And I'm like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, he's testifying now. All right. Or I don't know. And the settings of that kept changing. And I don't know. I just didn't like how it was going, I guess, or lack of going.
What I'm pulling out of that, basically, if you had to put a headline on it, is boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that. It's, what, go ahead.
Well, and I should like it. It's a historical period piece. It's got some character development. I don't know. I just felt like, this is a 3 hour movie. You could have done this in like an hour and 15. I don't know.
I'm with you. And I think I've banged that drum many times. We don't need to make these movies 3-4 hours. Whatever. It's like Killers of the Flower Moon, we have yet to watch.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant with that because that's, I think, a 3.5 hour movie.
Ooh,
3.5 hour long movie.
You know, I'm falling asleep.
But if it's good, you can still be into it and get like Wolf of Wall Street. That was almost 3 hours, I think.
Yeah.
That was good. That was engaging. You were in on the movie.
I think we still had to break it up into a couple sittings.
Well, obviously,
yeah.
You know, with two kids and
yeah.
limited time, we can't watch a 3.5 hour movie in
yeah.
one sitting. That's just not possible unless we actually go to the theater, have a babysitter, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But Oppenheimer, for me, like you, a little boring. And let me qualify all this. Like you said, this is something I should be really into.
Yeah.
I love the history, especially the World War II stuff. And this is a moment in history that you could argue changed the world forever.
Absolutely.
Because with the atomic bomb, you know, all bets are off. Like, that's instant annihilation in the
yeah.
wrong hands. And you got to respect that. But as far as the movie and the execution, it was kind of slow. There was a couple performances there where I didn't really agree with the casting, nor do I think they were doing a good job. Like, oh, what's that Jason guy? He was in that like Senate hearing, closed door hearing, where they're questioning Matt Damon's character and they question Oppenheimer. I can't think of his name. Maybe I'll look it up.
Jason Clark?
Jason Clark, thank you. I'm not a fan of him.
Yeah.
He just bothers me. That's
yeah.
my thing. But also Casey Affleck. I think
yeah.
I think he's a horrible actor.
I didn't even like Matt Damon in this role or even really Emily Blunt in this role. And right. usually those two are good. Yeah. Even Robert Downey Jr. was like, okay, this is, there's nothing there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some of the performances were not really clicking, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Downey was great. He's usually a really good actor. Also, what bothered me about this movie is it had this feeling of like it was, it knew it was the coolest guy at the party. Like it really took yeah. itself seriously.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, you're talking about the atomic bomb and
sure.
the guy who developed it. I get it. But it's just something about it just felt like it thought its shit didn't stink through the whole movie.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
And on top of that, I know it's kind of a biopic, but I don't need every little moment of Robert Oppenheimer's life. And
yeah,
I get it. He was dating this chick who was kind of weird. And
yeah,
then he met Emily Blunt, who was already married. Okay, that adds good drama. But I just thought overall it was done in a very slow, boring way.
Yeah, agreed.
That on top of some questionable casting with actors who drive me nuts, I'm out. I'm out on it. I'll go watch the History Channel documentary.
I guess, too, I've grown to like Christopher Nolan's work, and this just didn't really kind of fit, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, again, I think it goes back to 3-hour-long runtime. I think yeah. he's at the point where he is like Hollywood God.
Yeah.
You know, Steven Spielberg's always going to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Christopher Nolan comes to you, whether you're Warner Brothers, Universal, and says, I want to make this movie about Oppenheimer, and we're going to need at least $200 million, and I want it to be 3.5 hours long. They go, here's your check.
Right. Whatever you want.
And I think that's yeah. great to have that ability, but that doesn't always lend itself to a good storytelling process, in
right.
my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're hindered or limited, you have to be creative and you have to think, really think hard about, can we cut this? Is this really necessary? You know, but I think ultimately Christopher Nolan, he probably has the final edit on things, if I had to guess. You know, I don't think the studio says, this is the cut we're going with. I think they say, Christopher, what cut do you want? This is what I want. They're like, okay.
For me too, it didn't even get into some of the, and maybe we just didn't get that far, I don't know, but it didn't get into any, and maybe he didn't struggle with the morality of the work that he was doing as far as Oppenheimer is concerned. Like,
he did. I know he did because after it dropped, he became, and I'm going to paraphrase, his mindset turned into, oh shit, what have I done?
Yeah.
This is a horrible mistake. He was yeah. Job from Arrested Development. I've made a huge mistake. You know, because we saw a mini piece on him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was CBS Sunday Morning or what.
I think it was, yeah.
But after that, he became a very anti-war, anti-atomic bomb advocate.
But when it was in progress, you didn't see him wrestling with that. And maybe he didn't. Maybe he just was like, this is science. This is what I do. I'm forging ahead, you know?
Yeah.
This is the project. This is the assignment. I'm going to make that happen, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But all those things we just mentioned, I think we got maybe an hour and 15, 20 minutes into it.
Yeah.
And we're just like, right. I think I paused it at one point. Or no, we were about to start watching TV and or movies. And I think I looked at you as like, you know, Oppenheimer.
You're like, I can't do it.
I can't do it. I'm over it.
I can't keep going. Part of me wants to stick it out again because I'm like, I kept waiting for it to get better. Like, does it get better in the second half? I don't know. I don't.
You know.
You're all feck and boring.
It falls under that category. If somebody came out with like a 2-hour cut of it, I'd try it again.
Huh.
You know, like if somebody, whether the studio or even shit, somebody, you know, on some website said, yeah, cut this just the important stuff. Like, all right, I'll check that out.
It'd probably only be a 45-minute movie then.
Right?
Yeah.
But Oppenheimer, it's a no for me, dog.
It was interesting to kind of see the lead up to you. Like, you know the story. You know what happens. I don't know. I feel like it could have been done better.
Agreed. I think so. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yes, we shall.
Sticking with the Oscars, it won a Best Supporting Actress Oscar, The Holdovers, with Paul Giamatti. It's on Peacock, much like Oppenheimer. This is a movie it's an Alexander Payne movie. Basically, the premise is this high-end boys' school.
Set in the 70s.
They have the winter break, and some students are held over because either their parents can't take them for the holidays or...
Don't want to
or whatever. So Paul Giamatti is tasked with watching over these kids. And ultimately, it boils down to the relationship he has with this this other student.
Angus Tully?
Tully.
Yeah,
Tully. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely like a character piece.
Most definitely.
It's a movie about characters. It's about loss. It's about men. It's about, you know, what is life? What's important about life? And it's very well done.
I love this movie. I was not expecting this to, I wasn't expecting to like it, but I loved this movie.
I did too.
Yeah.
I just played the Banshees thing. To me, it's up there with Banshees of Inisherin as far as like a character movie where you're really into what these characters' motivations are, how they're going to end up becoming, you know, where they are when they start and where they are when they end.
Their evolvement.
Yeah. Their redemption, their character arcs, etc. Like, I was really into it, and it's really well done.
Yes.
You know, I always talk about pacing.
It's
paced very well. There's some funny moments. There's some sad moments, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one for me is when he goes to visit his father, who he claims is dead, is actually in a mental institution because of he had a psychological break, plus there's maybe some signs of dementia there, you know.
Yeah.
That landed for me a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, and the character interactions are fantastic. These two kind of do not like each other.
They're from totally different worlds, seemingly, you know.
And it's easy to write Angus off as like the spoiled rich kid who, you know, can't get out of his own way.
Yeah, who's a smart ass.
But it ultimately goes to show that you just never know with people because he's having issues himself. His father, obviously, his mother, you know, she's essentially choosing her new husband over him. That's the whole reason why he doesn't get to go spend time with her on the holidays.
If you think about it, all of the characters kind of have that. Like, Mary is grieving the loss of her son, and even Mr. Hunnam, the teacher, you know, he has his own kind of things that he has to come to terms with throughout this movie too, you know.
Sure.
He's
got his flaws for sure.
Yeah. Yep. But I really liked it. I thought the script was good, the writing, there's a couple really good lines in there that are funny and there is heart. There's also, you know, some good character development there.
So. Speaking of, you mentioned the funny lines. Yeah. Here's one.
You know, Mr. Koontz, for most people, life is like a hen house ladder, shitty and short. You were born lucky.
I mean, that's a great line. Whether you agree with that or not, that's a great line.
Yeah, I think I read it came from the writer's grandfather?
Uncle,
thank you. And, you know, he was a veteran and just kind of pessimistic about life. And he said that line and I thought it was great.
I think when you looked that up, you said like that uncle contributed quite a bit to this movie as far as the script.
Yeah.
There's a little controversy of The Holdovers. And I don't know if you've heard it, like some script writer, I think, is suing Alexander Payne and the production company because this is essentially the same script he brought to Alexander Payne 8 years ago. And they took a pass on it, but now it's been made. And that's literally all I know about it. I don't know the title of the original script or anything, but hopefully that gets all sussed out. But.
Yeah, I don't like it when people steal from other people's creative works. That's not okay with me.
Yeah, and I don't know if they stole. It was right. It could have been this guy had a script that was pretty similar.
Sure.
Enough to where, oh, maybe, but maybe it was a flat out like, or just change the title and the character names.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but
that will evolve as, you know, it plays out in the courts.
Yeah.
Probably.
But The Holdovers is a great, it's a fantastic movie. Yes. It's an adult movie.
Yeah.
And I would take this over Oppenheimer any day.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on to what the kids are watching. Yay! 2 weeks in a row that we watched Damsel on Netflix.
PG-13.
Starring Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. She's also in that Enola Holmes couple movies that's also on Netflix. The premise here is she is a...
princess?
So she's like a privileged daughter. Her dad owns some land and is kind of the... Not the king, but he's the baron of this land. And,
sure.
You know, times are tough for them. They get an invite from the king and queen to marry their son, the prince.
An arranged match.
An arranged marriage. And, you know, the father agrees to it. And Millie Bobby Brown, being the dutiful daughter, agrees to it as well, though a little apprehensive. And ultimately, it boils down to this marriage is just so they can feed her to this dragon.
Yeah.
Who lives in this mountain that they have an agreement over generations that if you send a... You send a royal blood princess.
Yep. Down, every year.
Every year, then I will not destroy your kingdom.
Annihilate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Kind of flips the whole damsel in distress on its head a little bit as she has to... Basically, they dump her down this big... well into the mountain where the lair of the dragon is after the marriage, and she has to find her way out, fight the dragon, and essentially fight the king and queen at some point. But it's a good movie. You know, I think it's kind of popcorn fare, you know, like if you like a little like medieval and action and dragons and stuff.
I liked it from a female perspective, too, because she saves herself. It's not a, oh, the prince came and rescued her. Like, she's badass. She's smart. She's resourceful. And, yeah, she kicks butt. So.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not the damsel in distress come help me.
No.
I think that's even alluded to with just the title alone.
Yep.
But I also like, and spoiler coming in 3, 2, 1, that she defeats the dragon, but also kind of makes it realize what's going on.
Yes. It had a very Moana at the end moment
for me.
Like, wait, this isn't, you don't need to be like this. This isn't what's really happening. Here's a different perspective and. Maybe you should consider that evil dragon.
So ultimately, they end up, she, the damsel, teams up with the dragon to thwart the king and queen.
That's right.
Literally burns the queen down.
That's right.
So I like that little twist at the end.
She became a Targaryen.
Look at that Game of Thrones reference.
Yep, she did. She's like, this dragon will be mine, and I'm going to use it now.
But the damsel it's an entertaining movie. I think there's definitely something for the kids there.
Yeah.
There's no sex. There's no nudity. I don't even think there's a bad word in it. I think it's mostly just the rating is for like maybe some, you know, scary.
Violence gore. Yeah. Maybe some intense, frightening stuff is really all it gets. But yeah, there's no nudity. There's no swearing. But yeah, I mean, use your own judgment whether your kids should watch it or not.
But yeah, but you should. You should watch it with your kids.
Yeah, why not?
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Anything else on Damsel Jody?
No, I liked it. I mean, I didn't find any real flaws there or bad acting or, you know.
Yeah.
I just liked it.
I was a little interested. I thought Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Just, it almost seems like she's dumbing it down for this. Like, this seems below her. Like, she's such an accomplished, revered actress.
Yeah.
To see her play kind of like the stepmom of a princess movie, essentially.
Sure.
Seems a little bit below her. But, you know, she's a grown-ass woman. Probably had a nice paycheck, so she did a great job.
Yeah.
She's always good. But other than that, yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool?
Cool.
Cool and the gang.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it for us on this Married with Channels podcast, the podcast about a married couple watching TV shows and movies. We'll hopefully be back next week with more TV shows and our movies.
Yeah.
Make sure you subscribe to the show on your podcast provider, playing app, whatever. And check us out on Twitter at MarriedWChans.
Share. Tell your friends.
Absolutely. Until next time, I'm Moose.
And I'm Jody.
We'll see ya.
Bye.